birthday party?
Miracle. There you go.
All right, welcome to the Abracadam Podcast, and I'm your host, stand-up comedy magician Danny Whitson. All right, Abracadamits, I hope you are doing good, getting stuff done, son. I am. I know I am. I just getting back for some fun shows out at the casino. So that was good times. But it's nice to be back home, getting ready for the holidays. That's a big fat stressor, I'd say, for everyone. One thing though that is nice is that this year my daughter hasn't even mentioned anything about the Elf on the Shelf, so I think we're done with it. Yeah, I don't think we have to do that anymore. Which, I mean, it was never like anything for me. I just watched my wife like having to come up with creative things every day, you know. Luckily, we don't have to do that anymore because I don't think she's mentioned it. So, don't say nothing, won't be nothing. You know what I'm saying? And I think little things like that's weird. When I was a kid, we didn't have stuff like that. We had a Claxton fruitcake. That's the closest we would come to stuff like Elf on the Shelf, because just one day, as soon as they hit December 1st, boom, there's a Claxton fruitcake sitting on the coffee table. And then the next day, you would come in the house, or you'd get up, and someone moved it on the shelf, and then it would be on the table. It just moved all over the house until eventually Christmas is over, and it was gone. You never know. We never found out who put out the Claxton fruitcake. Also, before I forget, I want to give a quick show date announcement. Next Friday, I'm going to be at the Comedy Zone in Bristol, Tennessee, /Virginia. It's right on the border. December 10th, Friday night, 8 p.m., the Comedy Zone in Bristol, Virginia, Bristol, Tennessee. You can get your tickets there at the Comedy Zone in Bristol.com. And they'll be selling tickets at the door, so definitely come out. We're going to have a good time. All right, now let's give a big shout-out for the sponsors for the Abracadam Podcast. Okay, well, today's episode is brought to you by Rosie Tattoos. Custom tattoos designed to suit your style in a friendly and clean environment. I've been getting my tattoos done by Rosie for a while now, and I couldn't recommend anyone else because she does excellent work. As a matter of fact, I got an appointment to see Rosie here in just a few weeks, and I cannot wait to get my ink therapy done, baby. Rosie gets free consultations by Facebook Messenger, Instagram, or by email. Shoot her an email at rosietattoos@yahoo.com. Give Rosie a call today at 865-281-3451 or go see Rosie at 5710 Kingston Pike, Knoxville, Tennessee. Get your ink therapy done. You know you want a tattoo. Go see Rosie Tattoos. All right. Now, today's guest is somebody who has performed all over the country, and she currently right now is a headliner at the Chicago Magic Lounge in Chicago, Illinois. You also may have seen her on the Masters of Illusion show on the CW channel. Regardless, this is a fun interview, a fun conversation. So if you will, sit back and relax and enjoy my fun conversation with magician Paige Thompson. All right, I'm excited. We got magician Paige Thompson here today on the Abracadam Podcast. How you doing, Paige?
Hello, I am doing amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
I tell you what, Paige, if you do not mind, will you go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners?
Of course. Well, you pretty much said it. My name is Paige Thompson, and I do magic tricks for a living. That's all I got.
Well, definitely interesting whenever you tell, you know, it's always I always found that awkward. Let me ask you this right off the bat, because I always feel so weird when people ask, so what do you do for a living? You're like, I do magic. Is that what you do? Do you follow up that, or do you say something like, I'm an entertainer? What do you say?
No, I honestly usually say, yeah, I do magical tricks. That's my job. I keep it simple.
Now, see, when I say that, they look at me, they're like, you know, is he off a little bit or is he serious? You know, but you ever get those weird stares where they're just kind of like, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You become a novelty.
You become a novelty to them all of a sudden.
Well, it's usually, it's either, well, what's your other job? Or, or who do you assist? And I'm like,
That is that. Okay. Now, this is something that I'm real big on, but you opened the door to this. So I'm going, we're going to go there. Okay. 100%. I love seeing so many female magicians are starting to take the stage, to be the magician, you know, because I mean, if there was one art, performing art form that was more like just male dominated, and even more than stand-up comedy, because the stand-up comedy, it was an issue, but magic was even worse, you know? And I, you know, I love seeing what's happening now. And I do not, one thing that I do not do, whenever I introduce you, you're a magician. You're not a female magician. You're a magician first. and the same thing to a comic, you know, that comic is a comic first, you know? And I'm love seeing this, but I got to say that has to be super annoying on your part when you do get that, correct?
Oh, I mean, I've definitely gotten used to it, but it's also, it really is getting better. People are so much more used to seeing a female as a magician. So it's great because, like you said, there are so many more females deciding, hey, I can do this too. So yeah, it's refreshing and it's nice. And people are actually, it's usually the older generation that is like, oh, what are you doing, young lady? Who do you assist?
And I mean, I think that's with so many things, not just in magic, but I think it's so important to just for other people to be able to see someone like them doing something that they've never seen someone like them do before.
Yes.
You know, not even to talk politics, not talking politics at all, but and regardless if you voted for him or not, regardless. But I think that was one of the important things with President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he, you know, African-American children actually got to see someone who looked like them as president.
Exactly.
And which that can only help us all in the long run. You know, it gives more people opportunities that, hey, you can do things. And so I would love if a little girl sees a magician and someone up there looks like her and she's like, hey, this could be the next David Blaine, could be the next, you know, David Copperfield.
Yes.
You know, so I would love to see something like that. So kudos to you, Paige. You are a trailblazer. You are a pioneer in your field in some ways. But at the same time, like I said, I don't want to be one of these people that, well, let's just talk about the obvious. She's a woman. Oh, you know, you're a magician first, Paige, is what you are. And I brought this up before the interview. I got to talk about this again. You did this on Facebook and I really dig the color changing nail thing that you did on Facebook. That was super cool. I love that.
Thank you. I do. I'm really having fun, like incorporating like me into magic. Like that's what's fun about magic is you get to be yourself. You don't have to play a part. I mean, a lot of people do choose that, which is amazing. But I really enjoy getting to be myself and incorporating what I like or what I find interesting.
You know, okay. I agree with you 100%. I truly do. Okay. But now there's some magicians out there that would probably argue with us and they go back to the old, is it Henny Nelms? I can't really remember who said it, but it's the magicians playing a part of an act. Okay.
Yeah.
Danny Whitson, when I'm on stage, I'm Danny Whitson. I'm just an extended version of Danny Whitson.
Yeah.
You know? And I put my personality into my magic and I can tell you do the same thing with what you do. And I think there's a problem too. If you become too much of a character while you're performing, you can also, you lose out on connecting with your audience sometimes.
I agree.
Because to me, when I'm on stage, I'm having a moment. We're having a moment with the audience, man. It's us. It's kind of like old friends I haven't seen in a long time, and we're having a good time, and I'm showing you my crap. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I'm totally on board with that. Totally agree with you.
Well, it is though. I mean, a lot of magicians are really good. I believe they are actors and they are great at being that character. I cannot do that. If I try to be a character, I come across as very insincere, super fake, and it just doesn't work. So I definitely had tried that, but I've learned people like me a lot more than a fake me. So it's definitely trial and error.
I mean, that's, and I'm sure, like I said, I know there are some character, you know, performers out there, and that's what they do, and they're good at it.
Yeah.
But for me, I like to be me, and, you know, that's just what works best for me. So, yeah, and if I tried to be somebody different, the audience would see right through it, and it would be garbage.
But that's what's great about magic. You'll be so flexible. You can choose to be yourself, or, hey, let's try out this character, and it's fun. It's whatever you want to do.
And I mean, and, you know, we could even dig a little deeper on that, because I have seen some amazing magicians now, you know, they do their act as them, and then they create this whole other persona of a whole new, you know, which I think that's fine too. I'm not touching on that at all, but I'm like you. I like to be me. I'm me on stage, and I think that's enough, you know. Yeah. Let's do this real quick, because I want to know, you know, we all have, you know, everyone always asks magicians, how did you get magic? So we've got to ask Paige, what happened? Where did Paige get the magic bug? Where did it begin?
I was actually only 6 years old. I had never seen a magician on TV. I had never seen one at a birthday party. My grandma bought me a magic kit for my birthday, and I was like, oh, this is cool. I really thought though, like I would read like a spell and I could magically make my sister disappear or something like that. So when I read the instructions, I was a little upset. It took me a while to be like, okay, let's actually try this. But then I became obsessed. It was a kit called Hocus Pocus 72 Tricks. And I learned all 72 and I was obsessed. And then, I mean, for me, I didn't even realize girls weren't into magic because I had never seen a magician. So it just I didn't think of it as a male dominated world. So to me, it was just like, you can read this book, you can figure out magic. It's not like a girl or guy thing. And it wasn't until I was a little older and starting to see magic on TV where I'm like, oh, wow, that's weird. Why aren't more girls doing this?
That's cool though, because I mean, now, so you got what we call the magic bug, you know, and for you listeners not familiar, the magic bug is whenever it's like turning into a zombie, another magician bites you, and then you start having these weird cravings. Actually, the magic bug is something that I think it's, you get that kit or you learn that trick, and then there's some people that get those magic kits, they learn that trick, and then set it down, and they go to other things, but then there's a special group of us that we just can't, we get obsessed with it, you know? And that's so cool. So that's kind of what got you in there. And then are you in Chicago? Is that the area kind of where you grew up?
Actually, no, I've only been in Chicago it's almost been 5 years now, but I grew up in the Bay Area of California.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure there's a pretty good magic scene culture in that area, correct?
There is. Unfortunately, I grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was like about an hour and 20 minutes outside of San Francisco. So to get anywhere, I lived in the middle of nowhere. We had 11 acres of land with nothing on it, and it took 30 minutes to get to anything. So I was just on this ranch, and I would luckily get magic books to read, and I would record like magic specials and with a VCR. Yeah, I'm old. So I would record them and watch them over and over. And that's how I figured out a lot of magic, but it was mainly illusions. So I always wanted to be an illusionist. I was obsessed with Lance Burton, watching David Copperfield. I would be so excited every Thanksgiving because the night before they would show those World's Greatest Magic
specials. Oh my God, were those not the greatest?
Yes.
Were those not the greatest?
It was my favorite. I'd be like, oh my God, Thanksgiving's coming. Time to watch World's Greatest Magic. Yeah, it was the best thing in the world.
Oh man, now I know all about that. Hey, I've got those recorded on VHSs.
Yep.
So
yep, that's what I did. Recorded them, and I would just keep watching them until I could figure out maybe a way this worked. And I was pretty surprised when I actually learned that I did a pretty good job of figuring it out, watching it like 100 times.
That is so super cool. So now, where was your first performance? Because you've done stage illusions, you've done all kinds of stuff now at this point. So is that kind of where you went first? Was the big stage illusions?
It was. I was really afraid to talk doing magic. I was a very shy. I was just quiet. I didn't know how to express myself. So I figured music would be the way to go when I was so young. And that way I could focus on the magic and let the music be there to help me, because I wasn't confident enough in myself speaking to people. So I did like a Chinese fan manip act, and then I built some illusions out of cardboard and wood and whatever I could find. I had bought a sword basket for like somebody was getting, I don't even think I bought it. I think they're just getting rid of it. And they're like, hey, you want this? I'm like, yes. And then I built a base for it. I went to Home Depot and asked them to help me cut the wood. And yeah, it was.
Damn. So hold on. I'm freaking impressed because, and the reason why I'm impressed, because did you get like an Osborne illusion book or something? Did you buy the plans and start building it yourself?
Yes, the Encyclopedia of Magic. I got like the little one. My grandma had bought me the little, like the fat one that was like a little tiny book. Yeah. And in the end of it, it had the illusions. And so I decided I need to make these and then I would bring them to my school and do them in the talent show. It was cute.
So cool, man. That is so cool. You totally had the bug. You totally.
Oh yeah. No, that's all I could obsess. That's it. My grandma helped me a lot. She started like promoting me. She worked at it was called the Golden Apple. It was like a teacher store. So she made little business cards for me and she put them at the register. So a lot of teachers and families who are needing birthday magicians, they would book me through my grandma. And I would charge like $40 because I was only like 12 or 13 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. I was barely older than the kids that were having the birthday. So that's how it started. And luckily, I did these like teen weekends at the World Magic Seminar back in like 2000. I think the first one I did was 2002 or 2003. Lance Burton was a big part of it, Jeff McBride and Eugene Berger. And I think that I was sucked in. I'm like, I had watched these guys on TV for years and now they're right in front of me, like encouraging me. And I got to do the competitions and I would get their feedback. And I mean, that helped me so much.
You know, I really hate that I never got to meet Eugene.
Oh, wow.
So I would have loved to have met Eugene. And Eugene is from Chicago, correct?
Yes. No, he has like everybody out here is like, they know Eugene. They know everything about him. I didn't even know he was from Chicago until I moved out here. I always thought he was a Vegas guy since I always associated him and Jeff McBride together when I was younger.
You know, the one thing, and I tell magicians this now when I look back is, like a lot of times when I watch, if I watch another magic act, I really don't care if you fool me. I really don't care. But as long as it's an original, entertaining act, that's really what I want to see, you know? And I remember back in the day whenever, I'm buying the VHS tapes and the books and everything. And, you know, Jeff McBride had so much material out on card manipulation and stuff. And Eugene would always, you know, offer the teaching of how to talk and tell a story while you're doing the magic, you know, putting meaning to your magic, you know.
Yes.
Back then it flew right over my head because I didn't care. I wanted tricks,
moves. I think all of us, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and now when I look back at that, I'm like, gosh, that was so gold. That was great stuff that they were giving away. And, I wonder, and I don't know, who's out there now, if someone out there else is still giving that same type of information. I know Jeff McBride still is probably with his mystery school and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I just wonder, you know, who's going to come after them? and push the performance side of magic, because it's easy. Like you said, it's easy just to get caught up in tricks and moves and tricks and moves, and you have a bunch of dull performers, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, Eugene, man, definitely. I hate the fact that I never got to meet him, but I've always heard awesome, amazing things. And like you said, you're right there you're in Chicago. So let's talk about that too real quick, because we just mentioned Eugene Berger, but we all know, now magicians know this, people listen to the podcast, if you're not familiar with this, we'll explain a little bit, but you are in a town that is known for one of the greatest card guys who have ever lived. All right, this guy has, he came, Mike, it's insane how many moves this guy has contributed to card magic. But Mr. Edward Marlowe, that's his town too, correct?
Oh my, yes. The Chicago is a Marlowe city for sure. It is crazy the knowledge these people have on Marlowe. It blows my mind. I mean, I knew the name, of course, before I moved here. I knew he was great, but now I feel like I can't mention another card guy's name, because wow, the obsession with Marlowe is real. It is.
Well, I mean, the culture in Chicago, the magic culture in Chicago is absolutely insane.
Honestly, I did not know. I moved here very randomly. I had a show kind of in Branson, Missouri for a while. I was living in Vegas. I got asked to be a part of a show in Branson. I knew nothing about Branson, but I decided I kind of needed it. I had been in Vegas. I wasn't doing a ton of my own stuff. I'd been assisting magicians, also bartending, and I wasn't like taking the next step. So I'm like, this could be a good opportunity. Force myself to progress and, you know, figure out more material that was good for me. So I moved to Branson and it was a mess. Not what it was supposed to be, unfortunately. A lot of drama from a family city. They actually thought I was a witch. Many people did. Oh,
know what? Okay, I got to interrupt real quick. Okay, yeah. I've got a good friend of mine. He's a comedian. He just recently moved to Branson and he's like in the Stampede show. He's doing something. Out there. But anyways, he told me this and this blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. Because I'm right outside of Knoxville and I'm really close to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
And Pigeon Forge is a real family entertainment. Yeah. They really run some things in the ground. I'm sorry, but I live here and I'm just kind of like, oh, really, you know? But then he told me and I said, man, what's Branson like? And he said, dude, he goes, it's the most conservative place I've ever been in my life. And I said, dude, more than Pigeon Forge? He goes, Pigeon Forge has nothing on Branson. Yeah. So yes. Go ahead, Miss Witch, go ahead. Let's hear it.
No, letters were written into the theater saying they do not allow witchcraft in these parts. Also, they thought I killed somebody every night. We did a levitation where somebody's floating in the air and then there's a sword and then that person is lowered onto the sword and then they drop through the sword. So it's like they are impaled by a sword. But then you magically take them off and they dance around, they walk off the stage. But when that girl dropped through the sword, somebody jumped up in the audience and said, murderer, yelling at me that I had murdered somebody on stage, and they ran out of the theater, started writing reviews saying I murdered someone every night and this show is not.
That is insane, man. You know, people don't realize this, because I've had people, I remember one time I had a lady come up after a show and she said, sir, can you really help me? I lost all my expensive jewelry at my home. I need you to come to my house and hypnotize me so we can find it. And I was like, wow. I said, first of all, I don't do that. And second of all, don't ever ask a total stranger to come to your house and do something like that.
No.
It's what people believe and what they, it's, you can't, you would think that in 2021, people would not think certain things that they do, but they do, they're still there.
Oh yeah, I had no idea. And I mean, I grew up in California, lived in Vegas. So I was not used to, I, I mean, I would see this stuff in movies, but I didn't think it was still happening in the world. And then I'm like, people would even point at me in the Walmart because I had pink hair. It's like, what is that? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Gosh. This is not the weirdest thing. So I decided buy Branson and I tried out Chicago. It was an 8-hour drive. I'm like, let's see what I could do here. And then I realized, oh my God, this place has an amazing magic community. And also the most welcoming magic community I had ever been a part of. It was such a refreshing thing. It's not like there were, you know, any of these sort of industries, people could be like, I don't know who you are. Where are you coming from? I need to check everything. But yeah, here it was like, oh my gosh, you're magic. Welcome. Come watch the show. Come meet us. Go join us over here. It was so nice. And I just felt relieved that I was welcomed and people were nice.
That is so awesome too, because no, and I do know what you're talking about. I mean, it's not easy, especially if you don't have 15,000 DVDs or books or tricks out on the market, you know, for magicians. Oh, come on in. Yeah. No, I mean, if they don't know, granted, magic boys, y'all don't know who the hell Danny Whitson is, but you know, like I tell you all the time, I actually know more comedians than I knew magicians, but it is nice whenever you meet a group or they accept you in like that. That's super cool. And each town, each scene is different. And yeah, now with Chicago though, I've heard always fantastic things about Chicago. I've heard great things about it. Now you also perform regularly at the Chicago Magic Lounge, correct?
Yes. That is a thing that when I moved here, they had another location. They were renting a venue and they did performances two nights a week. So right before that closed, I did one performance there, and then they were building and opening this brand new venue, which is one of the most beautiful magic venues in the world. And I am one of the luckiest humans because I get to be there almost every night. So if I'm not traveling or doing other, you know, private events, I get to be there, and it's the greatest thing. And it's helped me more than anything in this world, like progress as a magician, just because of the community and the people that are involved and how they encourage you. And like, hey, I was not a close-up magician at all. Like, I mean, I did walk around gigs, but it wasn't anything amazing. It wasn't unique. It was just, you know, the basics to get by with. And then when I finally started working here, I learned I need to step it up because these magicians are real good. And I cannot be this mediocre, okay, here's, you know, a basic card trick. I had to really get better. And they were willing to help me and share and be like, hey, yeah, you can do this. We see you. We like your personality. So they started booking me for their close-up room. And I thought it was a joke when Ben Barnes was like, hey, Paige, you are booked for the close-up, which is called our 654 Club. Cute.
I love that. I love that. Shout out to Malone.
I started laughing and he's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, I can't do that. And he's like, oh, in 3 months you can. And I'm like, okay. He's like, you're booked. You got to put together a show. And I need that. I need people to give me a deadline and believe in me, I think is also very helpful that he gave me the opportunity. And I was able to film that first performance and I sent it to the Magic Castle. And that had always been my dream to perform there. And I sent in that video and like 3 days later, I got the call that, hey, we want you to come to the Magic Castle. So it was just so grateful to have a starting point and the people that actually believed that I could do something.
That is awesome. Yeah, and it does. If you've got people who've got your back, who's like, hey, you can do this. And you know, in magic, sometimes it's, you know, as you know, it's just you in a book or you in a video trying to figure things out on your own. So whenever you do get some guidance like that, hell yeah, that's awesome. That's priceless.
Yeah.
And I've watched some of your close-up stuff on YouTube and, you know, you got a badass oil and water routine, which once again, that's a card trick, by the way, guys, for people that I know, but it's a cool card trick. Check Paige's trick out on YouTube. It's a great trick.
Thank you.
You know, and I love that. And you know, we all start out, well, I think most of us kind of start out doing, you know, close up and, for me, I started out doing strolling restaurants, and then I became a busker. Then I got into comedy clubs. I just recently landed a reoccurring gig to where I'm doing close-up magic again.
Awesome.
And I had to dust off the chops a little bit, because you do get, if you don't think about close-up, if you don't do it regularly, you can get a little rusty. You know what I mean? So but it's been fun, because I've been able to you know, oil the gears a little bit and get back into it. Close up, though, is compared to, let me hear your opinion about this. First one, which one do you enjoy more, close up or parlor type stand up type magic?
Oh, I honestly, that's hard. I really enjoy both.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It is hard, but I feel like what I'm starting to love even more about close up is that it's the easiest thing to travel with. So
true, very well true. Great point.
And I mean, you could get so much, now that I've actually learned a lot, you can get so much out of just the deck of cards. Like you can, can do a 30-minute show with the deck of cards and not need 30,000 props to fill up your suitcases and be too heavy to travel with. So that I have learned is a big benefit, but it's also, people seem to like it more. Not, I don't know about more, but I feel like they think it's impossible what you're doing because they are right there. They are right where they are at the table, or, you know, there's only 30 people in the audience. So they feel like they're a part of the show. I think when you're on stage, you never quite get that connection. You get, I mean, obviously you connect, but it's not the same. So close-up magic, I think it's really become one of my favorites to perform.
I love close-up magic. I do. I do stand up with my magic. That's kind of my main act. So I do like, but basically when I'm doing my show, I'm basically doing a close-up show on a stage is basically kind of what I'm doing in a lot of things. But now I will tell you this, this is something, and tell me, what do you think about this? Not that, first of all, hecklers, we don't get hecklers as much as what people think they really are rare. But, and also I think like a magic place, like when people go to see a magic show at a magic venue, that's what they're prepared for. They're prepared to see that, and they're really looking forward to that.
Yes.
Versus then say like a strolling gig to where just walking up on Bob and Barbara and you're like, hey guys, you want to see some magic? So, you may run into somebody who is just like, hey, I want to be a jerk. This is my world. Let's try to challenge them, you know, challenge the magician.
Yes.
So do you think close-up is tougher in that area to where, like, especially in a strolling situation, do you think it's tougher strolling close-up magic than the stage?
Oh, yes, because they know they're expecting a magician on stage. They're going to sit and watch. When you randomly approach somebody, it's like, why are you here? Do I have to pay you? That's usually the thing, like, oh my God, do I have to give you money? So my favorite thing is when I get booked for a strolling gig to be like, hey, can you make it known there will be a magician here? So it's not a surprise and they don't feel like they owe me all their money. It's always awkward.
There's nothing worse than that surprise. You're walking up and, you know, yeah, I totally agree with you 100%. And also, you know, I think the one thing I do like about like with the venue, like Chicago Magic Lounge, like I said, they know what's going on. They're there to see you. They're there to see magic, you know?
Oh, yes. I am so spoiled working at that venue because I walk up to a table and people are like, oh, yay, magic. And it's like, what?
Okay. You're like, you love me.
I don't even have to do anything. I'm just like, oh yeah, hi, welcome, enjoy the show, bye. No, but you have them right away. You get the occasional person that was kind of dragged there and they are like, I don't like magic. You usually win them over pretty quick because they realize how much magic they're about to see. And it's an adult venue. It is 21 and over. So it's not kid magic. And I think so many people who are not magicians associate magic with being for children. So coming into a venue like this, realizing, oh, we can drink and watch magic. And it's not cheesy kid magic at all. So We win them over very quickly.
The thing that I've always wondered about that too, because that bugs me a lot, because there's been times where, like, I've been booked at a brewery, okay, and I look up and there's kids there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why did you bring kids to this show? You know, yeah. I mean, this is not, you know, and I'm like, you brought your kids to a brewery. It's 9 o'clock at night. It's okay. You know, but it's just one of the annoying things that we as magicians always have to prepare for. As I always tell people, it's like, you know, you need to be prepared for that crazy, you know, left hook that's going to come out and there's going to be children at your show just because you're a magician. I wonder why we got associated with being children performers.
Yeah.
It's just weird. I mean, we can do birthday parties and children love magic, but that's not, you know, there are such things of magic shows without kids, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's very strange. It's just like, I think it's because a lot of adults saw a magician when they were little at a kid's party. So I think that's why they think that's all it is.
You know, that's weird. My parents didn't get me a magician. They got me a plumber. You ever seen a plumber do a magic trick? It's awful. Shitty trick. I don't know, man. It's one of those annoying things. It is kind of annoying. I'm definitely, I mean, I will do the occasional kid show. Absolutely, I will. If I need the money, yes, I'll do it. But I'm not primarily a kid's performer. I am definitely an adult, you know, magic show kind of person. So, but I don't know. But that's, well, let's do this. Since we even brought this up and I even talked about having kids at a brewery show. on the Abracadam podcast, Paige Thompson, we ask everyone to tell a good hell gig story. Let's hear one.
Well, I mean, I do have some weird ones, but this is one of my most annoying experiences. I was hired to do a kind of like an outdoor amusement park in New Jersey along the Jersey Shore. And I was working with a producer. And so the producer and the venue were kind of going back and forth. So I wasn't really a part of the talks. It was like, I would ask the producer, hey, make sure we have this, this, this. And then he would go to the venue and be like, we need this, 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 you know. This producer is also not very familiar with magic. So it was kind of hard to explain what I needed. And then everything seems great. They've agreed to what I need. I'm like, perfect. So I show up at the venue. And they're showing me around, and it's outdoor, it's summertime, it's hot, which I love, but they show me the stage, and it's like a platform stage, but it's metal, which is weird for the summer, because it's like a reflection of, you know, the sun bouncing on your face. and I'm like, whatever, that's, I can deal with that. And I was like, oh, is this, when are you finishing the stage? And they're like, no, this is your stage. And I was like, okay, but we had discussed having a backdrop. So that way, you know, magic doesn't look great from the back all the time. And they're like, well, it's right there. And I'm like, what am I missing? And they're like, the roller coaster, it's a beautiful backdrop. I'm like, no, that is in the background. That is not a backdrop because people are on the roller coaster. They're making noise, screaming, going through loops, and they can see everything that's happening. And people can still walk. The line to the roller coaster was behind my stage. So people would just stop there. And I'm just like, okay, well, got to improvise now. I had to come up with all new ideas of what I'm going to do because no way of getting a backdrop. Because also the winds in that venue were crazy. So even they tried to put one up and 2 minutes, it just blew over. So I'm like, okay, well, gotta restructure this. And I also had to do walk around in between the shows, but they did not mention there would be a magician. So this is super fun because I would approach them and be like, get away. I literally had people say, get away. We don't have money for you. And I'm like, no, I am with the entertainment here. This is provided. It is free of charge. And they'd still be like, no, stop asking me for money. So It was a long month.
Like I said, that sucks too. And also, sometimes you roll up and you're just like, you know, these people are going to be, you know, you don't need things going on behind you whenever you're trying to do a show. Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. Oh, man. And that was in New Jersey? Jersey Shore?
Jersey Shore. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've all done those. We've all done those gigs. Let me ask you this. This is something that I wanted to ask you, and I meant to ask you earlier, and I didn't. What magician, who is your big influence?
Oh, Lance Burton, obsessed, was just Lance Burton and the Pendragons, actually. I said, like, the illusions were so cool to me. And one of the first lectures I ever went to was the Pendragons in San Francisco. They had performed a lecture, and I think I was like 13 years old, and I was just like starstruck. I'm sitting there listening to them talk about their subtrunk and how fast they are, and I was just, my mind was blown, and I was in awe, and just watching that illusion when I was younger was the coolest thing in the world. That is really, those were my influences. I was just obsessed with watching them.
Well, definitely. I remember watching them too. And I'll never forget. I remember this was at a magic convention. It was at the Winter Carnival of Magic in Pigeon Forge. Great convention. I remember having my son, and the Pendragons were there, and getting to see them perform Metamorphosis. Mm-hmm. And seeing it done live is absolutely just, wow, mind-boggling, because it's the fastest thing you've ever seen. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, what'd you think? And of course, you know, he doesn't care about the magic, you know, he's just there. But I was like, son, you don't know what you missed. This is super cool, you know.
Yeah.
But definitely, and Jonathan Pendragon, super nice dude, man. I remember talking to him a couple times, very nice man. Lance Burton. Geez, what can you say about Lance Burton, man, that hadn't already been said 1,000 times? He is the freaking man.
Yes. No. That bird act, I could watch over and over. I loved those acts. I loved bird acts. Jason Byrne, he was so good. I loved, like, Danny Cole, what he did. Any of those, like, Manip acts, Arthur Trace. I don't feel like they're just not as popular anymore, but I always thought they were awesome.
I don't know. That's true too. That's interesting that bird acts and kind of the Manip acts are not as popular. I'm sure they exist, and I'm sure people are still doing them. Lance, you know, he had, you know, he was just that so smooth, you know, character that, you know, that he had on stage there. It just, you couldn't help but love it, you know. But that's interesting. What do you think about that? Why do you think that is? Why do you think bird acts and Manip acts aren't as pop anymore?
Now, I really don't know. Maybe it's like a pace thing. Maybe people are more fast paced nowadays, and that's kind of more of like a classical sort of way to do magic. Maybe it's too old timey.
You know, one of the things I love about that kind of stage manipulation is, I mean, just the art form of the sleight of hand.
Yes,
you know,
it's amazing.
It is absolutely amazing, and the things that can be done, you know, just with the hands. So I don't know. Maybe you know, because they say magic goes like in circles, like it comes around certain things, and I guess what's popular right now, what's kind of amazing, what Penn and Teller Fullis is kind of doing for magic too.
Yes.
You're seeing all kinds of stuff too. So I don't know, but who knows? That's one thing that I don't think I've ever seen on there. Now, granted, I haven't watched a whole bunch of episodes, but have you seen any Manip acts on Penn and Teller Fullis?
There's been a few, but not a ton, especially since I think there's like a time constraint. I think most of the acts need to be like 5 minutes, and I feel like Manip acts are usually a little bit more intricate with that sort of thing, so it's probably hard to condense to work on TV.
True, that definitely would make sense. Absolutely. But anyways, I don't know, who knows, maybe it'll come back around. Maybe one day we'll see Manip acts with I don't know, birds, or maybe something that's never been done before, rats. That would be I don't know. Well, let's do this, Paige Thompson. We're going to ask you a tough question. Are you ready?
Maybe.
Maybe, she says. Here we go. All right. I ask every magician on the Abracadam podcast this question. Now it's your time has come. Paige, let's just say that you are stranded on a desert island. Actually, you wake up and you notice you're stranded on a desert island.
Uh-oh.
And then you realize there's 1,000 spears being pointed at your throat. The indigenous people on this desert island, and they're going to kill you unless you convince them you are a goddess. So, Paige Thompson, you have to show them one magic trick and one trick only to convince them that you are a goddess. What magic trick is that?
Oh my God, that's a terrible question. I mean, geez Louise. Does it have to be one I do, or is it one?
It doesn't have to be one you do. I leave this out open. I'm real flexible with this question. I've had people say, I mean, Nick Lewin said, I'm going to do the ambitious card. So, I mean, you know, and then I think somebody is doing something to coconut, something. Yeah, I mean, so whatever you want to do, get creative with it. Let's hear, what's Paige going to do?
Oh my God, indigenous people on an island. I have to freak them out. I feel like if I could make the floating ball work in that surrounding, I think they would be freaked out, because if you're on an island and all of a sudden you have this orb floating around, I feel like they'd think I'm pretty magical.
Okay. So let's hold on for a second. So either you had the ball on you somehow when you wound up on this island, or...
Well, how did they get the deck of cards?
Well, I don't know. What you know how it is. We go everywhere with crap in our pockets. What if it's a
floating coconut?
It could be a floating coconut, or it could be Wilson. Remember from Castaway? You could do the floating Wilson ball.
I like the floating coconut. I think
the floating coconut.
I think I would show them I could enchant the coconut, and boom, I'd freak them out.
I think you would freak them out with the floating coconut. And then they would not kill you. You would now be their goddess, and they would hoist you around the island. So there you go. Paige Thompson fools them with the floating coconut. I'm impressed.
Me too. I would be impressed.
Smart move. Well, I tell you, since we brought it up now, like I said, I've seen you do your oil and water. I've seen you do stuff. Do you have a favorite trick that you're doing right now, close-up wise? Is there something that you're doing?
Right now, honestly, that probably is my favorite. And I'm working on a lot to try to make the ending better and more magical. So that's kind of been my obsession this past year, is that routine. It's been my favorite. And when the lounge reopened, I was able to do it. Because when I started doing it, I was only doing it through Zoom. It was during the pandemic. That's one of the things I was excited about. So I tried it through Zoom and people seemed to like it, but it's still weird. You don't know because you're not hearing any reaction. So the first week the lounge reopened, I was in that close-up room, the 654 Club, and I did it live. And it was amazing because after every moment there was a pause and I'm like, oh, so this is good. People understand it. They like it. And yeah, that made me really happy. And it's just a fun routine. And I'm excited that it's working.
Well, I think you do it, like I said, fantastic. Plus I love the thing you do with the nails. That is super dope. That's cool. You keep bringing up 60. Have you ever met Bill Malone?
I have actually never met him. No, when the lounge opened, he was actually I think he was the first performer in that room, that 654 Club. So yeah.
Oh, that would be super cool, man. I love Bill Malone. I think he's amazing. Well, I tell you what, Paige, before we get out of here, before we wrap anything up, is there any places you're going to be, any place where people can learn more about Paige Thompson?
Well, you can check out pagesmagic.com or at pagesmagic. Next month, I will be at the Magic Castle, actually. I was just invited back the 13th through the 19th. I'll be in the close-up gallery of the Magic Castle. So if you have an opportunity to do that. But yeah, most of the stuff is at the lounge. So if you're in Chicago, come to the Chicago Magic Lounge.
Nice. Awesome. And what'd you say the website was again? I'm sorry.
Pagesmagic.com.
Pagesmagic.com. Definitely. Well, you know what, Paige? This has been fun. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the Abracadam podcast.
Well, thank you. I truly appreciate you having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that episode with magician Paige Thompson. I'm telling you, I could geek out and talk magic with her for hours. I definitely could. I tell you what, if you guys are in the Chicago area, be sure to get out to the Chicago Magic Lounge and check her show out. You will not be disappointed. She is an amazing magician. You definitely want to check her out. Great magic. Also, if you have not done so yet, be sure to like, subscribe the Abracadam podcast wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. And let me say this, quick shout out to Russia. Thank you for the downloads, and I see you, and like always, abracadamits, thank you for listening.
Freaking miracle. There you go.